This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Suspected drug overdoses put 8 festival goers in critical condition following a festival on the weekend, prompting calls by experts and the Victorian Greens for pill testing. And despite these calls, the Victorian government says it has no plans to introduce pill testing. Dr. Amy Haley is a fellow at the Centre for Human Psychopharmacology at Swinburne University. Welcome to Drive, Amy.
No worries, thank you for having me.
What happened on the weekend?
So we had an event on the weekend, which happens quite frequently in the Australian summer, where we have a dance festival. And what often happens when people go to these festivals is they will consume drugs, often of unknown origin. And so in this instance, we had a number of people, and quite a substantial number of people, who ended up quite unwell and needing acute medical intervention. So a number of these people were put into an induced coma due to the substances that they ingested.
Now, presumably, I imagine these pills are made in significantly large batches. So is it likely that we could see more overdoses over the rest of the summer festive season?
It is quite possible. And I think that's one of the difficulties that we have with tracking and monitoring different batches of drugs, particularly those which should have a warning attached to them. And so I guess when we think about the usefulness of pill testing, one of the benefits of this is that we can actually identify quite clearly contents of drugs that people might be taking within the community that might have adulterated substances. They might be more strong. The concentration of the substances within those drugs might be stronger than anticipated. And it allows us to essentially track and then provide, you know, safety warnings against the consumption of these particular substances.
How would it work? Let's say we're at a party and, you know, we've got some pills, we go up to the testing area, it's been implemented. How would it actually work?
So people in the instance of the festival drug testing services, what people do is they can nominate to give a little bit or all of one of the drugs or more than that they might be have on them, on their person. And then these will be tested according to standardised laboratory techniques by the technicians on site. And then the patrons will be provided with a qualitative and informative report of what the drug contains. And then we'll be given some feedback, and there will be follow-up discussion on whether or not this is what the patron anticipated the drug to contain, because sometimes they contain something entirely different to what they expect, whether that be benign substances, so things like baking soda instead of amphetamines, or something potentially more harmful like a MDMA derivative that might be of either unknown origin or something which we know is associated with increased harm. And so people are given feedback on what the drugs contain, and then they're able to make an informed decision whether or not they would like to have the substances back, or if they want to dispose of those within the services away from the intervention of law enforcement.
So in this instance, on the weekend, for example, if pill testing had been available, potentially it could have said that there's a high concentration of a particular substance in these pills.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't know that the individuals who were involved in this event, whether or not they would have used the services, but the option of having them there is, of course, that sort of harm reduction approach, meaning that people who, if someone did present with that particular substance, alerts can be put out and essentially warn people that, you know, either these contain something that they're not expecting or something that is potentially harmful. And then people can make the decision to either, you know, alter the dose that they take, space the dose out, so they might have a small amount one time, a small amount second time, or whether or not they want to just dispose of that entirely.
We're chatting with Dr. Amy Haley, fellow at the Centre for Human Psychopharmacology at Swinburne University, about some pill testing and whether it had been available and what impact it would have had. Haley, just on that, I don't understand why the Victorian government is supportive of safe injecting rooms, yet they're against pill testing. Aren't they both about harm minimisation?
They are about harm minimisation. Essentially, that's how we would like to frame this. The government, I think, has been somewhat risk averse when it comes to pill testing. Of course, you don't want to have the perception that there is an acceptance of, you know, this kind of risky behaviour. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be a bit of a reframing, I think, of the way in which we look at this kind of behaviour. People are going to be taking drugs whether or not we're there to test them or not. And this is going to be something that becomes quite likely more common occurrence in the future. And so there needs to be more of a pragmatic and realistic way to look at how we can deal with and manage drug use within the community.
Without the availability of pill testing, what advice can we give to people who do or will take drugs at festivals over the coming weeks that can perhaps minimise the harm or the potential harm of them?
Yeah, sure. Look, irrespective, and this is, I guess, my opinion on this type of thing overall, is irrespective of your stance or opinion on people who consume or don't consume drugs, it's not acceptable that people be hurt or killed for the decision to do so. Mm. And so we kind of need to move the discussion around the management of drug use from a purely like punitive law enforcement standpoint to one that's more informed by health promotion and in particular harm reduction strategies. And so people can make, you know, quite proactive decisions in the way that they consume drugs. So that would be things like making sure that they're aware of local alerts or warnings for particular substances, to pay attention to themselves and also look out for their friends and others.
What are the potential signs that someone has overdosed on something?
So this can be quite a range of different things. So depending on the substances consumed, it can be things like sweating, overheating, and just sort of visible signs of being quite unwell. And it's important in those instances that people do reach out to health and emergency services without the expectation or without thinking that they're going to be prosecuted or in trouble for doing so. That's really the most important thing, that people can and should reach out for help if they feel that they themselves or a friend or another person needs some assistance.
And keep an eye on your friends at those parties as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Amy, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Amy Haley, fellow at the Centre for Human Psychopharmacology at Swinburne University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.